A frenzy for ETFs, or exchange-traded funds, continues in Taiwan. Recently, Yuanda Funds announced its 00940 ETF, which has reportedly raised 200 billion NT in just 5 days, a record high. People continued to rush to buy the ETF on Friday, which was the last day that subscriptions were available before its launch on April 1st. A financial expert, however, warns that although ETFs have a reputation of stability, risks still exist. Let's hear from him.
一旦行情如果开始出现震荡修正的时候，那想当然了，ETF的投资人也有蛮多可能股市经验不足。
When the ETF goes on the market, if there is fluctuations and corrections, some subscribers may jump ship, as many of them likely don't have any experience in stocks or they are more conservative with their finances. Such a reaction could lead to turbulence that only grows faster and more violent. ETFs invest in the stocks they are constituted of. If one of these shares rallies or falls, that could affect the trajectory of the ETF, which in turn could potentially affect investment returns. We are considering measures on the matter.
The popularity of the 00940 ETF has prompted the Financial Supervisory Commission to consider control measures, including introducing caps on how much can be raised by a single ETF. We'll know on April 1st whether the ETF frenzy will indirectly rattle Taiwan's stock market. The 10th anniversary of the Sunflower Student Movement is coming up on March 18th. On Friday, the DPP held a press event featuring some of the participants who took part in the anti-China protest back in the day. One scholar says that had the movement failed to stop a cross-strait service trade agreement, Taiwan's economy would now be stagnating like Hong Kong's. Meanwhile, a lawmaker criticized some of the movement's leaders for having switched sides to the KMT.
On March 18, 2014, student protesters occupied the Legislative Yuan to protest the proposed cross-strait service trade agreement. Now, 10 years on, the movement's participants say they are glad Taiwan took the right path.
The issue of restarting the cross-strait service trade agreement is not just a political matter, but something that will affect all of our livelihoods. Hong Kong's economic integration with China has led to Hong Kong's decline. We should ask ourselves, do we want things to be that way here?
Frieda Tsai drew a comparison between Hong Kong and Taiwan. In 2015, the city signed a services trade agreement with China. In the decade since, Taiwan's GDP has grown at an average of 3.0%, while Hong Kong's has lagged at 1.0%. Taiwan has also posted better figures than Hong Kong for direct foreign investment and service trade income.
Last month, Hong Kong's and China's stock markets made huge losses, whereas other markets rallied. The Sunflower Student Movement was the first time that the people of Taiwan were able to engage in debate at the very front lines. It proved to us that no matter what, the people will take back the power of anyone who dares try to sell out Taiwan.
Meanwhile, lawmaker Wu Pei-yi says she can't bear to see some of her former protest comrades now supporting the KMT in the legislature as the party calls for restarting talks on this agreement.
It's especially the case in the Internal Administration Committee. We've seen the KMT make all sorts of ridiculous speeches, parroting Chinese rhetoric. Some of our partners in the student movement, such as movement leader Huang Guoqiang, have chosen to back the KMT in the Legislative Yuan multiple times. To me, it's a betrayal of the ideals of the movement.
A decade on from the movement, Taiwan still remains at a critical juncture.
Long-awaited critical funds to counter China in the Pacific have been approved for three U.S. allies, Palau, Micronesia, and the Marshall Islands. U.S. President Joe Biden recently signed into law $7 billion U.S. dollars over 20 years in funding for the Compacts of Free Association as part of a partial government funding bill. Voice of America's Jessica Stone reports.
The yeas are 75, the nays are 22. The motion is agreed to.
With this vote in the U.S. Senate, partial funding flows to the U.S. government. For the tiny Pacific nation of Palau, a U.S. ally, it's a lifeline.
It's not October 1st, but it's at least within this fiscal year and really just in time.
Palau maintains diplomatic relations with Taiwan, but its economy relies on Chinese tourists, who dropped by more than 50% in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, tanking the nation's economy. Whip says he recently met with investors from Singapore and Japan to chart a more sustainable direction.
Opening up new markets so that we're diversified and more resilient, not so dependent on the Chinese tourism, which could be weaponized.
Palau's funds come through an agreement that provides $7 billion in economic aid over 20 years to Palau, Micronesia, and the Marshall Islands. In exchange, the U.S. gets exclusive access to a broad swath of the Pacific and the right to turn others away, including China.
Simply having the freedom of navigation through this area of the Pacific is really critical. And if we lose that, we also lose direct access to our allies in the Philippines and Australia.
The agreement was renewed and signed last fall, but Congress took 5 months to fund it. The delay raised doubts about Washington's commitment to the Pacific, warned Marshall Islands President Hilda Hine.
Our nation has been a steadfast ally of the United States, but that should not be taken for granted.
In a video message on Facebook, Wesley Simina, president of the Federated States of Micronesia, or FSM, acknowledged the long wait.
At the end of the day, the FSM and the U.S. reached an agreement on an outcome that I am confident will benefit both our nations.
It's an agreement, these leaders say, that provides new motivation to deepen economic and security cooperation in a part of the world that's critical to American security. Jessica Stone, VOA News, Washington.
The Taipei International Bakery Show is on with more than 350 companies represented in 1,550 booths. President Tsai Ing-wen attended the event Friday, checking out the baking equipment on display and sampling the products. But still, there is one bakery item that stands head and shoulders above the rest in her heart. Let's find out what it is.
The smell of freshly made Berliner-style jam donuts fills the air. Also on the table is a gigantic loaf of roggenbrot, a kind of rye bread.
I think that over the past 10 years, Taiwanese people have become more interested in European-style breads. Now that the pandemic is over, costs have gone down slightly and sales have recovered somewhat.
This bakery owner says that during the pandemic, the price of flour skyrocketed by 70%. Fortunately, the prices are coming back down again. Taiwan's baked goods industry was valued at around 79 billion NT in 2023, a rise of 8.76% from the year before. Another bakery is introducing Taiwan to the flat croissant, a snack that's caused a sensation in South Korea.
You take a croissant and press it flat. It's become the most popular and best-selling flat croissant in the world.
They pose for a photo with President Tsai Ing-wen, who was not to miss the event. She strolled around the exhibits, trying a bite here and there. She's a fan of tasty bakes. The mention of bagels brought back memories of a viral video starring her. During a U.S. transit in 2019, Tsai presented her bagel purchase to reporters in a clip that was widely shared online. Now, the president confirms that bagels are indeed her favorite.
Well, it's not quite eating like a king, but ordinary people can now eat like the staff of the presidential office. The staff cafeteria now offers its fare to the public on its monthly open house. The meal options include a big bowl of succulent beef noodle soup at 120 NT a pop. Presidential Office Secretary General Ling Jialong has touted the cafeteria's dumplings and hot and sour soup as being delicious. Let's go take a look inside.
This bowl of nutritionally balanced beef noodle soup comes from the presidential office's collegial cafe.
Oh,
President Tsai Ing-wen pays a visit. Actually, this is the presidential office staff cafeteria.
We're going to check out their employees' cafeteria. It looks pretty similar to our typical breakfast shops. Let's order a set.
French YouTuber Richard Kendan Paul Camille from the channel Cool's Dream orders from the touchscreen. He didn't only come here for breakfast. He's then joined by Presidential Office Secretary General Lin Jialong to enjoy dumplings and hot and sour soup recommended by netizens.
Quite nice, very tasty. As for the soup, foreigners don't usually like this type of soup. This pairs well with rice, a bit sour and spicy.
The Presidential Office Collegial Cafe is run by a private company. It offers simple and home-cooked style meals.
We use warm organic chicken. We don't use battery hens. The ingredients here are rarely purchased from elsewhere. We do it all ourselves.
Because of all the tight security that surrounds presidents, normally there's only one opening to the public a month. And only then does the general public get the opportunity to eat these presidential but affordable meals. If you'd like to try them out, there are only two more opportunities left this year, April 4th and May 11th. Starting in June, the presidential office will undergo renovations. And currently there are no plans to open it to the public at this time. If you'd like this novel experience, don't miss the opportunity.
Lin Peirong, who was crowned Miss Taiwan late last year, will represent Taiwan this October in a major international beauty pageant based in Japan known as Miss International. Lin won over the judges in December with her mastery of the guzheng, a large Chinese zither. In addition, Lin and her four runners-up will go to Kosovo, Albania, and other European destinations starting in May, promoting their unique skills and styles to win international recognition for Taiwan.
...23-year-old Lin Peirong plays a guzheng with great flair. Last December, she was crowned Miss Taiwan 2023. Her four runners-up will also win glory for Taiwan. Julia Chen had delivered beautiful and professional singing during the contest, winning the favour of the judges. Another contestant, 23-year-old Xie Pei Yi, was good at performing K-pop and playing the piano.
I'm from Zhanghua, where people dress more simply, and the way people get dressed up there is a little different from Taipei dwellers. I will rent a dance studio with mirrors. I hope I can find my best look to promote Taiwan and win glory. I have been playing the guzheng for about 10 years and I'm professionally qualified. If I go to Japan, there's no way I can take the guzheng with me. But Japan has a Japanese koto. It's a bit like the Japanese version of a guzheng. I will do my best. I hope I can do my personal best and learn as much as I can.
Lin will go to Japan in October to represent Taiwan in the world's third largest beauty pageant. For Taiwan, it's the largest one it is qualified to take part in.
When Miss Taiwan goes out to compete, she promotes our country and at the very least lets people know where Taiwan is. What I hope the most is that they win the Miss Friendship Award. It's the only award that can't be manipulated by the organizers.
Starting in May this year, the top five contestants in the Miss Taiwan pageant will go one by one to Albania, Kosovo, and other places in southern Europe to win glory for Taiwan, showing off their best looks so that the democratic island gains more international recognition.
Taipei Arena will be hosting a major ballroom dance competition on March 30th. The 2024 King's Cup Taipei Open to the World is expected to see more than 800 participants from 30 countries, including the U.S., Canada, Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan. The world's 24 top-ranked professional dancers will be among the competitors this year, as well as modern dance champions and Latin dance stars. Let's hear from the organizers.
We have invited the globe's elite dancers. For example, the top two dancers in the world will come to the Taipei Arena to perform and compete. That is the biggest highlight. It can put Taipei and Taiwan on the map. With everyone's efforts and the work of the organizers, we hope that the event will be held at the Taipei Dome in the future. We will provide all the assistance and encouragement we can so that ballroom dancing can take root and grow.
The Taiwan Dance Sport Development Association says it hopes to hold the tournament at the new Taipei Dome one day so that ballroom dance can attract as much attention as baseball. The Taipei Department of Sports says it is happy to host high-caliber competitions in the capital, adding that the event could help local dancers hone their skills. A nuclear-free homeland has been a core policy of the Thai administration. Offshore wind has played a large role in green energy policy, with 293 turbines already constructed around Taiwan. But have you ever wondered what it takes to build an offshore wind farm? Today we look at some of the many interconnected fields involved in wind farm construction. And we ask what it might take if you're looking to get into the industry.
Offshore wind will play a vital role in global green energy transition. Taiwan has many good sites for wind farms and has successfully attracted many firms to construct wind farms here, putting Taiwan in the running for the status of the offshore wind center of the Asia-Pacific region. But hold on, let's not count our chickens too fast. First, we need to lay the basis for offshore wind technologies to thrive by creating a comprehensive industrial chain for wind power. There are many environmental assessment criteria to meet, such as air quality, soil quality, noise pollution, and vibration. All these must be audited and monitored to examine how the development of wind farms is truly impacting the ecosystem. There's a lot of interaction between each step of the process. A minor oversight in one area could have big consequences. When a firm has obtained development rights, it's just a foot in the door. It needs to employ many related companies to construct the actual farm, including the underwater foundations that will hold up the vast turbines. That takes a lot of expertise. The field of offshore wind relies on international cooperation between experts. It's best if professionals develop multilingual skills and interdisciplinary professional knowledge. In the field of regenerative power, we are also attending to costs. So how can we take costs into consideration? Does everyone have basic financial concepts, economic concepts, concepts about risk? Offshore wind is an industry that transects many professional fields. Each turbine is mainly composed of its blades, nacelle, and pylon, as well as secondary systems. Monitoring and power generation systems turn the motion of the turbines into electricity. Substations at sea or on land transform the voltage of this electricity to feed it into the grid. From there, it can be transmitted to homes. If you go into the industry, no matter which field you specialize in, you have to remember that the ultimate goal is a regenerative system that can be sustainable.
Every year, Pingdong hosts the Dapong Bay Marine Festival, offering a variety of water sports and tours. What are the highlights of this year's edition? FTV reporter Stephanie Yang has the details.
Now in its sixth year, the 2024 Dapong Bay Marine Festival will be held at the Dapong Bay Marina Bay Pier. Visitors can participate in water sports such as sailing, stand-up paddleboarding, canoeing, and water motorcycling.
There are 4 weekends in April. We hope everyone can visit Pingdong. People tend to think of Pingdong and Taidong as rather far away, but the local marine culture has a lot of activities to offer. The Sailing Association and the Yacht Association are especially big advocates of marine activities.
Besides water activities, there will be a videography exhibition, markets, and street performances, as well as 4 tours, including a low-carbon cycling tour, a harbor seafood tour, and a Donggang gourmet meal boat tour. This year, Dapong Bay Marine Festival water sports will also be featured on June 23rd on Olympic Day.
It's been great having the guidance of the Chinese Taipei Olympic Committee. We hope that this year's collaboration is just the beginning.
The 2024 Dapeng Bay Marine Festival will be held at the Dapeng Bay Marina Bay Pier from April 1st to 30th. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Hu Chong-en in Taipei.